Hey everybody, it's Mike. Welcome or welcome back to the Revision Church Podcast. While you're here, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Revision app, which is actually the best way to get access to new content and share it with friends. You can get the app by texting Revision app to 77977. Thanks for listening today. My hope is that this message will be helpful for you and would inspire you to take the next step on your faith journey. What's up, Revision? Happy 4th of July to all of you. I hope you guys have some fun plans or relaxing plans today as we celebrate our nation's independence. This morning, we're actually kicking off a brand new series called Summer at Revision. And I want to start off with just a short thought for you guys about a section of the Old Testament that Jesus says contains the most important commandment in the entire Bible. It's this beautiful, poetic little passage you may have heard me talk about before called the Shema. And I think all of us will have a better 4th and a better summer if we learn to embrace the beauty of these verses. The Shema is actually found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength." In the Old Testament times, all of God's people had the Shema memorized by heart, and they took this passage very literally. They'd recite it every morning when they woke up and every night before they went to sleep. Also, many of them would actually wear the words of the Shema tied in a bracelet around their wrist or on a headband. And some of them actually painted the words above the doors to their houses so that they'd be reminded every single time they entered or exited their house. And that kind of devotion, like that level of seriousness, repetition, and dedication begs the question, why? Like, why this passage? Why these words? What is so special here? And the answer is really simple. This is the passage that most succinctly sums up the entire Bible. The whole point of our existence as human beings. It's the most important commandment that God gives us in the entire book, and it gives us a picture, a vision of why we were created in the first place, and what He created us for, and why He stepped out of eternity into human history to save us after we sinned and rejected Him. And it tells us what the world is supposed to look like and what it looks like to be restored to right relationship with Him, what heaven's going to be like. And I realize I keep talking, you're like, that is a lot, Mike. That's a lot to fit into a few short verses, but let me explain. Shema, the name for this passage, the Hebrew word Shema means hear or listen. And it's the first word, Shema Israel. Hear this, listen up. What's coming next is super important. And the reason it's called the Shema is not just because Shema is the first word and it says, listen up, Israel, but also because that's a constant reminder of the importance of the words that follow. Like, listen up, because this is big. And what's so big? Well, there are two major things here that we need to understand. The first one is that the Lord is one. And the second thing is that we were created to love Him with everything we've got. The Lord our God is one. It's probably easier to understand or better translated, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. He's the only one, but it's the same idea. Either way, God is the only God. And that's not confusing to us, but it was pretty earth-shattering to a lot of people in the ancient world. Most cultures had an entire pantheon of gods, a sun god, a moon god, a fertility god, a rain god. The Lord our God, though, the Lord is one, the Lord alone. And then it continues, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. And so, when people heard about this God, this God of Israel in the ancient Near East, like the first thing they would think is just to add Him to their pantheon of gods. It didn't really bother them to think that Israel had a God. Every nation and every territory had their own big long list of gods. But then in the Shema, God reminds Israel, and He reminds you and me thousands of years later, that He's not just one of these many little territorial gods. He's not just some God with some limited power. He's the only God. There are no other. He's not just the God of one tribe or one territory or one people or one aspect of the world. He is the creator of all things. And so it was important in the context of this polytheistic ancient world they were living in for Israel to be reminded that God is God, God alone. But I think sometimes, again, because it's not confusing, we feel like that's not as important for us today, right? We believe there's only one deity. We don't buy into the mumbo jumbo about sun gods and rain gods and all kinds of little gods. He's the only God in our world, isn't He? Is He? Like, is He the only God in your world? The only thing to which you've devoted yourself and sought fulfillment? The only thing you've loved and pursued with your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole strength? Is He the chief aim of your life and your heart? I think if we're honest, most of us would have to answer that question no. Like, we may not believe in all the superstitious stuff, like this rain and this wind is caused by some little deity that rules over central Iowa. But we certainly give ourselves over to the God of materialism, the God of accumulation, the God of self-indulgence, the God of sex, the God of achievement, the God of money, the God of sports, the God of victory, which, by the way, in Greek mythology is named Nike. Like, the God of popularity and image. I could probably go on for a really, really long time, but I don't know how long it's gonna be before I'm soaking wet, so I'm just gonna not keep going. About all these little gods that we give our hearts to and our lives to. I just think it's easy for every single one of us, if we take a look inside of ourselves, to realize that we devote our time and our lives to things that aren't really God. And it's easy to let other things take God's rightful place as our purpose and as our passion, as the thing we love and pursue with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our strength. It's so easy, at least if you're anything like me, to fall in love with created things instead of the Creator. But if we do that, you guys, we're settling for something less than the story God wants to write in our lives. He created human beings in His image to have a deep, intimate, loving relationship with Him. It's why He made us, and it's what He designed us for. And it's the only way that you and me and any of us will ever find true satisfaction. All of those other things are lesser things. They will eventually leave us feeling empty, feeling like there's gotta be something more. And we feel like that because there is. We were created for God. It's part of what makes us human. But because of our sin, that relationship is broken, and every single one of us has this God-shaped void in our lives. And we can try, sometimes for a really, really long time, sometimes for a lifetime, to fill that hole with other things. We can try to fill it with success or clothes or shoes or cars or money or video games or sex or drugs or popularity or anything else, but ultimately the only thing that can fill the God-shaped hole is God. And so the Shema, this reminder that God is the only God and we should love Him with everything we've got, is an amazing invitation by God. It's an invitation into the relationship He created us for. An invitation to find our purpose and our meaning in this life. An invitation to fill the hole that only He can fill. The hole that He wants so badly to fill, that even after we sinned, even after we walked away from Him, He stepped into our story and sent His Son Jesus to die on a cross so that we could be saved. Like, He did that because He loves us. And Jesus tells us the most important command in the entire Bible is to respond to that love He's given us by loving Him back. We are built, we're made, we're wired, we're created, we're designed to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. And God actually follows up this most important command in the Bible with some instructions to, like, impress His commandments on our hearts and upon the next generation, on our kids, and then talk about them on the road and when we lie down, when we get up, and when we go to sleep, to tie them on our hands and our foreheads, to write them on the door frames of our houses and on our gates. So it's pretty obvious that this stuff is a big deal to God, right? He doesn't say, you know, make a post-it note about this stuff, keep it in a drawer somewhere, shove it into your pocket, it'll be fine. That's the kind of stuff I do, like, when my wife tells me what groceries she wants. And then I go to the grocery store a bunch of times. But God says, hey, write this stuff everywhere. Tattoo it on your heart. Not literally. I don't think you can tattoo your heart. I don't know if that's legal to tattoo internal organs, but, like, what this is saying is not so much that you have to do what the Hebrews did and actually, like, put it on a bracelet or like a headband and recite it every morning when you wake up and every night when you go to bed. Like, most of us probably haven't done that. And that doesn't make us some sort of, like, filthy sinners. Or, like, we are filthy sinners, but that's not why. The idea that God is communicating here is actually pretty cool. And it isn't that we need to, like, literally do all that stuff. This is what God is saying. Write it on your heart, your hands, and your head. Your heart, your hands, and your head. God's saying this should be the lens that defines everything you see. It should be the lens through which you see your emotions and your thoughts and your actions. Like, your feelings, your thoughts, and your actions ought to be influenced by who God is and how God loves you. And then He says, talk about Him when you sit at home and when you go out. He's saying, wherever you go, everywhere you are, every day of your life, you are defined by the love of God. That's your identity, everywhere, in every moment. Don't compartmentalize church and house groups as, like, the God places, and then school, work, and home as the non-God places. You're defined by who He is and how He loves you everywhere, every day. And then God says, write Him on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. He's saying, you ought to be loving God with all you've got and showing that love to others at home, in your close, intimate relationships, like within your doorframe, but also to everybody else out there, to this world that exists outside the gates of your house. That's the picture God's trying to paint for us with His words. And that idea, that loving everybody else well in response to the love God's given us. Loving people we have close relationships with, but also everybody else who exists out there beyond our gates. That's actually the second most important commandment in the entire Bible. To love others around you just like you love yourself. Jesus said to him, Matthew 22, one of the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus. He said, what's the greatest command in the entire law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. But the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets. Love God, love people. The whole law and prophets depend on this. And that's a familiar enough idea for us that we don't realize how revolutionary it was when Jesus said it. But it was shocking. Like, make no mistake, this is a radical statement by Jesus. But he's making something clear here that is reiterated time and time again in the Bible. That's what we're created for. God created human beings for relationship. He created us to have this incredible, complete, sold out love intimacy with him and with one another. That's what we were made to do. That's our ultimate purpose. And so my challenge for you guys this week, as we go out this 4th of July, this holiday weekend, but this summer, is to love God and love people with all you've got. That's what you're made for. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to step into our story, to the human story, to redeem us, to reconcile this broken relationship that we had because we walked away from you, and create this intimacy and this love that we were created for. Help us to be people who love you in response and love the people around us in a way that points them toward you. Bless us this holiday weekend. Amen.